Good evening, everyone. It's truly once more a pleasure and a joy to stand before you this evening so that together we may continue to study the precious word of our God. To our friends and our guests, we thank you for joining us tonight. We thank you for having trusted that here at the Southeast Church of Christ, we worship our God in spirit and in truth as is in accordance to his will and his commandment. If you have any questions about your salvation or about the Bible, we encourage you to please ask those questions to any one of us here. We would love to sit down and allow God's word to answer those questions for you. If you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3, beginning there at verse 16. The Bible reads, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we once more approach that throne of grace. Thank you, Father, for such an honor. Thank you for allowing us, Father, this honor that we know we are not worthy nor deserving of. As we approach thy throne of grace, Father, we bow humbly before thee to give thee our honor and glory and to reverence thee, Father. Father, please, as we pray, we ask, and we hope, Father, that our worship has been a sweet-smelling aroma in thy sight. As we now reach the conclusion, Father, of this series of these 12 minor prophets that thou inspired through thy Holy Spirit, please allow us, Father, to keep in mind what we have been able to gather from studying them, and that, Father, we may continue to build upon this beautiful foundation that thou have laid, being thy Son, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Father, we ask that you bless those of our friends who have visited us who have yet to obey thy Son's gospel. Father, that their hearts may be listening diligently, and that they, Father, may find the boldness in thy word to obey thy Son's gospel if they have indeed reached that completion of understanding. Father, if there is any amongst us who have failed thee, if there is many amongst us who is currently, Father, struggling or is currently living a life that is not pleasing in thy sight, Father, also grant us the humility and the boldness so that we, Father, may come forward and ask for thy help and to ask for the help of thy saints. But Father, also grant us the strength so that we may make those adjustments, so that we may change and continue to perfect our holiness in thy sight. Father, we ask this not because we are worthy, but we do so for we know that thou art our loving Father, and that we, Father, strive to be dear children of thine. For we pray this in the precious and glorious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the past 3 months, we have been studying the 12 minor prophets. And this morning, we began by studying the book of Zechariah and looking at it from the perspective of Zechariah's name, rather what his name means. Jehovah remembers. The Lord remembers. We were able to see through that inspired book how God remembers those actions of the past, the wickedness of the fathers, not to be holding a grudge or resentment against us, but to remind the other generations not to fall into the same snares that those of the past did. We were able to learn how God remembers his justice. He remembers his law. But once again, he does so to remind us of why he has not yet punished us. Why he gives us time, because he is long-suffering, he is compassionate and merciful, not wanting any man to perish. And we were able to see that indeed the Lord God remembers his promises. He is a God who has always been loyal to his friend Abraham, as we were able to read in Isaiah 41:8. A God who made promises to Abraham and has till this day kept those promises. For we, as Galatians chapter 3 teaches us, are the descendants of Abraham through faith. The Lord indeed remembers, brethren. But as you have seen perhaps in your outlines this evening, the book of Malachi now turns the perspective on us. And it begins by teaching us that we have to remember. We have to remember, we have to repent, and we have to return. This, if you will, is a summary, a brief summary of the entire book of Malachi. It's interesting that what we just read there in Malachi chapter 3, we read about a book of remembrance that is being written before God. And it is interesting because this same book of remembrance is referred to by the inspired John in the book of Revelation as the book of life. The book where our names of those who are faithful and those who remain faithful unto death will be found inside of it. And anyone whose name is found in that book shall be granted access to the eternal reward. Observe how this same book which Malachi speaks of in verse 17, God says that those who are found in it shall be mine. But observe once more that these words are being written because, verse 16a, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Brethren, what we are doing tonight, what we did this morning, what we do through gospel meetings, through youth events, through ladies' days, or any time when we gather as the church, when we study the Word of God, when we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, when we pray with one another and for each other, is to speak to one another about the fear of the Lord. And the reason for this is because we do not want to forget. Just like our God does not forget us, we too must not forget our God or one another. Observe how in verse 16 of chapter 3, the Bible says that they spoke to one another, and by this there came the book of remembrance that was written. They reminded each other of their identity. Remember that the book of Malachi was written after the captivity. The book of Malachi was written when Nehemiah came on the scene. In approximately the year 444 BC, Malachi was called by God to his service. And in this book, brethren, we can truly say that in the book of Revelation, if you will, please go with me, chapter 2, we see that this book is very, very well summarized by John himself in one example as presented by the church known as Ephesus. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, beginning there at verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, in that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now let's pause there for a minute. Once more, observe how the Lord remembers. And we've already spoken in great detail about this. Observe how the Lord does not forget, and he keeps in mind and holds in our favor those who are doing what is right in his sight. The problem was not that God was not fair. The problem is never that God is not fair. Our God remembers. And so far, as we've said before, if this would have been the end of God's speech to Ephesus, they would be in great standing with the Lord. But sadly, verse 4 follows, saying, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, repent, and return. This, again, is a brief summary of the book of Malachi. And when we begin to study Malachi in the light of what John is inspired to write to the church at Ephesus, we see, brethren, that this is truly a lesson still applicable to us. You have left your first love. If you recall, we talked about Hosea. We talked about how Hosea was married to an adulterous wife. And we spoke about the fact that Hosea mentioned in his own book how she had forgotten him. And the reason she had forgotten him is because she paid more attention to others than her own husband back home. We spoke about the fact how this visual aid that God was using was proving to the children of Israel how they too had left their first love. How they had forgotten that God was their husband. Because they had become so hypnotized and focused on the idols of Canaan. The idols of the people of the land. They neglected home. They neglected their husbands, if you will, or their husband, if you will, in place of their infidelity with idols. Even though they had gotten out of the captivity, if you will, go back with me to the book of Malachi. Go back with me to the book of Malachi and observe how God is telling them to remember. Remember that you have left your first love. And we will go back to Revelation 2, but notice chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Observe how you're going to read through this entire book that every time God pointed out an area where they were lacking, they always retorted or responded as a way of trying to justify themselves. In what way have we despised your name? What are you speaking about? We offer upon the altar. We celebrate the Passover. The temple was rebuilt. The walls have been finished. What are you talking about, Lord? What now do you want from us? Verse 7, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? I have this against you, heard Ephesus. You have left. You have left your first love. Judah, brethren, in the days of Malachi, had also left their first love. They had forgotten to be grateful. They had forgotten to continue to reciprocate God's love to him. They had forgotten their first love because they honored men more than they honored God himself. Notice the approach to the altar of our Lord. How, says Scripture, right? The question is, how have we despised your name? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. In our time, friends, this is similar to saying, why do I always have to go to service? It doesn't give me enough time in the day to do other things. I already went in the morning. Why do I have to go again in the evening? Why are there so many gospel meetings in 1 month, back to back? And then on top of that, we have another event every Thursday. Then we have Wednesday. When will I have time for entertainment? When will I have time to do what I want? When will I please the God of ego? Because there's never enough time in the day to watch in order all of the movies from Marvel. There's never enough time in the day to rewatch all those movies that I've already seen once, or read all those books that I've read before, or to listen to the music that I never grow tired of. Those things I want to do. But the table of the Lord is contemptible. If you have the old King James Version, it says, the table of the Lord is fastidious. It's tiring. It becomes taxing. But why? Why is the case so? Because you have left your first love. You are no longer doing it with a heart full of joy. And in the book of Malachi, God says, remember. Remember what made you fall in love with me. Remember why you loved me. Remember what I did for you out of love. Do you remember, says the Lord of hosts, when you used to love spending time with me? When you would enjoy my company? When my table was viewed by you as a table where you wanted to sit at? We go back to Revelation chapter 2. Notice how Jesus tells his church in verse 5, remember. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Malachi 2 is telling the priests of Israel. He is telling the Levite priests of Judah, remember. Remember when this became a burden to you. Remember when it stopped being to your pleasure and your joy. Remember when you stopped viewing God with those loving eyes. Remember when you fell. Pinpoint the source and pinpoint the moment that you, quote, fell out of love with God. So that you can identify what is trying to quench that fire in the bosom of your heart for God. When did your heart stop being honest before God? When did you stop loving God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body? Malachi, brethren, asks this question. Malachi addresses this issue. And we see how God entreats them, and in the same way, God also submits to them and asks them to repent. Go with me now to chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Now remember, the lesson is remember, repent, and return. Malachi chapter 3. Coming there at verse 4. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? You see, God is asking them to repent. Go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, says the Lord. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. And notice what comes next. Repent. Repent. The reason why we have to remember where that source of discouragement and disillusion became. When we became or we began to lose our love for our God is so that we can repent from that sin. The greatest commandment according to the Lord Jesus Christ is to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our soul. But when one of those is missing, we then are in violation of the first commandment, the greatest commandment. And we have to repent from that. We should be like David when he wrote the psalm. I rejoice with those who told me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We should be excited to be here tonight. We should be excited to be here at the events. We should rejoice to know that we are going to see one another after such a long time. But when we begin to gripe, and when we begin to use phrases such as, why are there so many? Too much church. There's other things to do in life than just be in a church building. You are correct. However, we are not saying, nor is the Bible saying, that you neglect the affairs of this world. We are not promoting the same doctrine that was promoted in Thessalonica, where they were selling everything because the Lord will return. That is not what is being said by God in His Word this evening. What is said is, if you learn to be a faithful steward of your time, you can place God as your priority because you want to be here, not because you have to be here. I mentioned this morning what's fascinating about relationships, and again, I'll mention another example tonight. Husbands and wives who've been married for more years than you can probably remember. Do you still love one another as you did when you first started dating? Do you still want to spend every second of the day and every minute of the day with one another as you did when you started dating? When you couldn't get off that phone, where you would be willing to stay up as late because you wanted to extend that date as much as you can because you did not want to lose a memory? Or is it now where you can't get away from home fast enough and you make yourself busy because you feel smothered, you feel trapped? You see, Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 and forward, is our husband. And we as the church are His bride. We should want to spend every minute with our Lord. We should never feel trapped or smothered by Him. We should not mind of holding His hand or being and resting in His arms. Because after all, that is the promise found about heaven. The promise given to us in this book of Revelation in regards to heaven is that He will wipe every tear from our eyes. That we will lie in His bosom where He will comfort us for all of eternity. But if we're growing tired of His company here on earth, why then would He want to spend time with us in heaven? Where we will hurt Him, disgruntled. Because we don't have our own time or our own privacy. This is why Jesus tells the Ephesians, repent. Repent. Go back to that first love. Whatever it was that you are using as an excuse to justify you turning away from me, fix it. Because we, brethren, all without a doubt know that our God, as He says in Malachi 3, does not change. Our God has always been a faithful and consistent husband. He has always been a diligent provider. He has always been a wonderful protector. He has always been a marvelous father to the fatherless. What reason do we have to justify falling out of love from God? What has God done for us to stop loving Him with that love that we once had? He has done everything right, and He has gone above and beyond what we could ever imagine. How can you and I justify falling out of love with Him? How does it make sense to say, I couldn't. He loved me too much. I wanted to be loved less. He was too caring. I wanted Him to be a little more rough. He was too compassionate and too considerate. I wanted Him to every once in a while ignore me. Does that make sense to you, friend? Because that is what we read in Malachi. God had brought them back from Jerusalem. God had given Zerubbabel and Joshua strength to rebuild the temple. God had allowed Ezra to find the law and to read it in the hearing of his people to restore the law. God had given Nehemiah his providence in finding good favor in the eyes of the king to rebuild in 52 days the wall. He was always there. He always provided and he always protected. What reason did then that the children of Israel have to so quickly, in less than 100 years, fall out of love with God? Repent, says Scripture. Repent, because the only valid reason is your selfish heart, your ungrateful heart, your lack of spiritual maturity. Because the Bible promises that the commandments of our Lord are not grievous. They're not burdensome. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Christ promises that his yoke is easy. It is light. But many times when we complain and murmur against the service to our Lord, it is not because the yoke is heavy, nor is it burdensome, because then that would be saying that God is a liar. Therefore, we have to remember where we fell off. We have to remember with the intent of repenting. But when we repent, meaning when we change, when we transform, once more go back to Malachi chapter 3. Observe what the verse 7, the final part of verse 7 says. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Go back to Revelation. We've already read how God, through his Son, speaks to the church in Ephesus. He tells them to remember where they have fallen. He tells them to repent and observe and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. It's not enough to say, we are sorry, brethren. It's a start, but it is not an end. It is not simply just to say, Father, I am sorry. God, I am sorry that I had lost my love for you. God, I am sorry that my love has waxed cold for you. I will make it right. And that's as far as we go. Words, brethren, can be easily forgotten. When God wants us to repent, our penitence should lead to a return. God did not only want the children of Judah to repent from having fallen out of love with him, but he wanted them to come back to him and to once again fall in love with him all over again. Let's repair this relationship, says God. Let's save this marriage. Let's make this relationship work, because I am faithful to you. If you are unfaithful to me, I remain faithful. I cannot deny myself. I am ready. I am ready to work things out with you. I am ready to make our relationship stronger than what it was when you turned your back on me. Observe how Jesus here, as a loving husband, is extending his hand to his wife, his bride, there in Ephesus. And do the first works. Return to me. Come back. Let's pick up where we left off. Let's continue to work with one another. Why will you leave your work unfinished? Let's finish building this home together. If you will go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord Jesus Christ has not abandoned us, brethren, but rather he has left us in the care of capable hands. But he is always there watching us. He is always here seeing over us. And while he's doing that, he is also preparing our home. But observe why he's preparing our home, so that I will return to you and bring you to myself, receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. God does not want to be separated from us. Jesus never wants to leave his bride's side again. This separation, if you will, is but momentary. Dare I say, necessary. Just like the temple was necessary to rebuild. The temple, brethren, represented God's presence amongst his people. And when God commanded Zerubbabel to return and to rebuild, when he commanded Ezra to bring back the law, when he commanded Nehemiah to fortify and restore the walls, God was showing that he was wanting to reconcile with his wife. That he wanted to be together once again. Because remember that in Ezekiel chapter 11, the glory of God had left the temple. The glory of God had left his own home. He could no longer stand the infidelity that was being done in his own house. And thus God wanted it purged. God wanted it rebuilt, so that they could once more be a joyful home. Return. Return to me, and I will return to you, is the promise made. Remember where you have fallen. Repent and return to me. Let's be a home again, says God. Amazingly, brethren, the book of Malachi is, if you will, a beautiful and glorious summary of all 12 minor prophets. And every single one of them, we see God's plea to his people to remember his works, to remember his law, to remember his grace, to remember his love, to remember when they stop remembering everything. To repent from their ingratitude, to repent from their gracelessness, to repent from all of the atrocities that they had committed against the Almighty God. But it is also to return. You have drifted away. We have drifted apart. Somewhere, somehow, our love started growing cold for one another. But I, says the Lord God, I have the power to reignite that spark between us. I am ready to make you fall in love again with me. But you have to be willing and you have to desire to do so. We end this evening's lesson with Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, beginning there at verse 4. And observe how God sought to rekindle his love to his people, or rather his people's love for him. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. This, brethren, is a prophecy not concerning Jesus, but a prophecy concerning John the Immerser. And John's responsibility was to bring the hearts of Israel back to God by announcing that Jesus, the Son of God, was going to arrive. He was the voice mentioned by Isaiah in the wilderness that was about to prepare the way. But notice how God was seeking to woo his bride back. How God was not willing to give up on his marriage. How instead of putting her and setting her apart through a letter of divorce, God was trying to reconcile himself with her. And indeed, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning there at verse 14 to the end of the chapter, does it not the Apostle Paul say in verses 18, 19, that they as the apostles were the ambassadors, as if God through them saying, reconcile yourself with God. He never stopped loving his wife. He never gave up on her. He never gave up on his marriage. And even today, God is still reconciling himself through Jesus Christ, who is our reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. He is still reconciling himself with his beloved. God wants to reignite the flame. God loves you, and he loves me. But we have to remember, if we have stopped loving God as we did at the beginning, and if our love for God has waxed cold, we have to remember where we fell from love, when we left our first love, and we have to repent of that sin. We have to change our mind. We have to change our attitude. We have to change our heart toward the loving God that we have. And we have to return to him. We have to turn away from our sins, and we have to return back to the loving arms of Jesus Christ. And like Mary, when Jesus had resurrected, we must cling on to him. We must never let go again. Because if we reconcile ourselves to him, then our relationship with God should be stronger than what it was when we left him. But he is the husband that is always there, looking toward the door, waiting, when will my beautiful bride return to me? This evening, friend, God waits for you. God wants you to return to him. Notice that when you were born in innocence, and therefore you belong to him. But then sin entered your life and you participated in an adulterous relationship, spiritually speaking. Although in your case, it is more of a fornication. But Jesus, even though you have been defiled, will still take you. And he is willing to wash away your sins. He is willing to purge you. He is willing to do what is necessary, which he has already done, so that he can be your husband. Because he wants you to be his bride tonight. But are you willing to accept the proposal? Tonight, Jesus asks, will you marry me? What will your answer be? Will you accept the Son of God, the Son of the King of Kings proposal in being his bride tonight? Or will you also be someone who does not reciprocate? Someone who rejects and turns away that loving proposition of eternal fellowship with God. If you are ready to return to God, whether you have never put on Christ in baptism, or whether you, brethren, if your heart has not been honest before God, if you have grown cold in your love toward God and your service has become a burden to you, where you now murmur and complain instead of doing it with a grateful and joyful heart. If you know that you have been unhappy with your husband, but it is not on him, it is on us, and you need help reconciling yourself with God, he's ready to take you back. To you, he says, return to me, and I will return to you. If we had to describe all 12 minor prophets, it is indeed in those words. Return to me, and I will return to you. If you are subject to this invitation tonight, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.